I'm going to talk for a little bit, and then Fasto is going to come up, and he's basically going to complete and perfect what I say. So that's why we're doing it this way around. It's really wonderful to be with you. It's 14 years ago that I lived with Claire Wigg, as she was, in Woodbury. I'm pointing over there. I've actually got really no idea of direction or geography. Oh, mixed rodding, it's okay. It was over there somewhere. And for 14 years, you've been journeying with us in mission, and we're really grateful for that. So I lived in Woodbury just for 7 months. It was only 7 months. Felt like far longer. It was a wonderful time. And highlights for me were singing up the front with the guys, being in a wonderful home group. It was the best one. I'm sorry to everybody else, but it was at the time the best home group around. And also being involved with some of the kids' work, because I lived with Claire, and people like Livy used to come to our house to do, I can't remember what it was called now, the youth group anyway. Chalet, that was it, Chalet, that's what she called it. So wonderful memories. And I just want to say thank you, because 14 years is quite a long time. Particularly to have somebody keep popping up every so many years. You've been reading our newsletters, you've been praying for us, and you've been supporting us for all that time. And we just want to say thank you, because that means so much. And it has enabled us to do the work we did in Tanzania, and it still enables us to do the work we're doing today. I'm an ordinand, which means I'm in the Church of England, and we start using silly words. I'm training to be a priest, and so in June, you can write it down, June the 28th, you're all invited to Truro Cathedral when I'll be ordained. It's not far, Truro, it's only 2 hours, come on. You're welcome to come, and we will then move from Liskeard to Bodmin, where I shall do a curacy. So we'll still be around, we'll still be in touch with you, and Festo's role with CMS will continue. So CMS, for anyone who doesn't know, is the Church Mission Society. It's on the screen, and that's who we serve with and have served in Tanzania with and serve here with. And Festo is going to share a little bit about what he does with them. But before we get to that, I just need to confess something to you all. I do have a habit that is not a good habit to have, and that is that I quite like watching videos on Facebook. I'm not going to explain how you do that. For anyone who doesn't already know, I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to lead my brothers and sisters into sin, or at the very least, distraction. But you can watch videos on Facebook, and they're shorts. You know, they're short snippets, a little bit of 8 out of 10 cats, or a little bit of would I lie to you? You know, things. I don't want to watch the whole episode. I can't be bothered. But just want to watch a little clip of it. And recently, I've been watching quite a few compilations of Britain's Got Talent. I really, there's some fans, I love that, because I can't really tolerate a whole episode of Britain's Got Talent, and I particularly don't like it when people who have less talent, shall we say, perform, and then it's just painful for everybody concerned. But I do love the golden buzzer moments, when somebody who really has got some talent gets up on the stage. It's a craft that they've honed, a skill that they've worked on over, for many of them, years and years and years, and they perform, and it's breathtaking, astounding. And the judges, or Anton Deck, one of them will come forward and they'll hit the golden buzzer in the middle, and it's like the trumpet sound. Everything turns gold, there's music, and this gold confetti flutters down onto the stage, onto them. And I imagine in that moment, it must be like you've reached your goal. That is the moment when you think, yeah, I've done it. I've made it. Maybe it's the same if you're a marathon runner when you run across the finishing line, but I've never experienced that. But I have been on stages, so I can relate a little better to that. Paul is talking about reaching a goal in this passage. He talks about straining for what's ahead, pressing onwards, those kinds of words, you know, that make us think about somebody who is fervently making progress in a forwards direction towards this goal. And the goal, of course, is knowing Jesus. That's our goal. And it's a bit of a funny goal because we already know Jesus, but we don't know Jesus in all his fullness. So we're also straining towards the goal of knowing Jesus. That's the goal. But the difference between Britain's Got Talent and the Kingdom of Heaven, if ever you needed to be told, the difference is that the glory on Britain's Got Talent goes to the person on the stage who has performed especially well. But the glory when we know Christ goes to God. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant? This striving and this straining that we're doing, actually, it's not for our glory, it's for God's glory. Our goal is to know Christ and to make him known. You may have heard that saying, it gets used a lot, to know Christ and to make him known. Well, I think Philippians chapter 3 pretty much is summed up in that phrase. So we've come to talk to you about what we do with CMS, and I don't like just going to a church and only doing that. I think you came to meet with God, not to hear about what some people are doing. So that's why it's a bit of a preach and a little bit of a catch-up at the same time. But Church Mission Society at the moment they've rebranded, so probably you didn't know what it was before. Don't worry about it. This is what it is now. If we can have a look at the next slide, Ben, thank you. We're talking about being with Jesus and with each other and going to the edges. And I have to say, when this tagline was first brought to the mission partners, we all went, oh, I don't think we like that very much. But as we've explored it, we've begun to see, no, we can see what they mean and how that is working out in our ministries. So first of all, we've got to look at Jesus. That's where we have to start, isn't it? Jesus went to the edges. If you were to look at Mark chapter 5, you would see the account of Jesus healing a demon-possessed man with so many demons that they were called legion because there were so many. I'm sure you can recall that passage. Just before he gets there, we have the story of the calming of the storm on the lake. And the reason for that is because Jesus needs to cross the lake to the other side. We could even say to the edge, across the lake to the other side. Because that lake, what that did geographically is it denotated where the people of Israel's land was, and the other side was the Gentiles' land. So where that chap was with the demons, he was on Gentile territory. And Jesus went to the edges there. He went to the edges with his disciples in that story because he took them completely out of their comfort zones. He took them completely away from their expectations of who Jesus was and what he came to do. He also went to the edges of humanity. He met with a person who was no longer being treated as a person. If you read that passage in Mark, you'll hear about how people had tried to chain him up to keep him under control, and they couldn't even do that. And he roamed around like a wild animal. Yet Jesus knew his humanity and went and met him there at the edges of humanity. Jesus went to the edges of spirituality. He went and dealt with the demons. And that's a challenge for us, because a lot of us, when we start hearing about that kind of stuff, we want to just go the other way. We want to walk in the other direction. And Jesus went to the edges of expectation. You know, he did this amazing, this huge miracle, but he didn't stick around. The people wanted him to leave, so he said, yeah, I'm going to leave. He left. But he said to the man who'd been healed, he said, now this is your turn. You tell your story. Tell others what have happened to you. It just made me think as I read that, actually, does God use the people we don't expect? Or are our expectations not in line with the way God works? We wouldn't have expected that man to become a great evangelist to the Gentiles. The Jews didn't expect Jesus, the disciples didn't expect Jesus to go to the Gentiles. Jesus went to the edges. And where are our edges? I've been around Christchurch Woodbury long enough to know some of the edges that you go to, and I'm really pleased you do. You go to international edges with the Swahiba Network, with Mark and Dorcas in Zimbabwe, with Wendy and Rebecca in Tanzania, and many others probably. And you go to local edges, I lived in Exmouth before I lived in Woodbury. I know a lot about Open Doors from that time. And I know that you support that ministry here. You've got your light walk happening in a few weeks' time. That's your local edges. You have a great ministry here in Woodbury. I've had the joy of coming to Bible Tots. No, not Bible Tots. What's it called? Gems. Sorry, I'm in the wrong church. Gems. But I used to come to Gems sometimes when we came to visit, and Zephaniah has been to Gems a couple of times. Those are all edges here locally that you're ministering to. And we have our personal edges, friends and family that God's called us to share his love with. I actually think it gets harder the closer to home it gets, because there are other personal edges. Those are the edges within ourselves that actually Mally prayed about in the worship. Those things that we haven't yet given to God. Those parts of our lives or parts of our character, parts of our being that we haven't yet given to God. Those are edges within ourselves. And to all those edges, we should take Jesus. Not just Jesus, but the love of Jesus. When we go together with Jesus to the edges, we are in step with the Holy Spirit. And I know that here you've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And just by chance, in Liscard, we've also been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's so wonderful to hear that we're both doing a similar thing. Being in step with the Holy Spirit as we go out to the edges, as we do mission, is the difference between doing good deeds or good works and God's deeds and God's works. And that's really important, isn't it? That we don't just do something because it's a good idea, but we do it because God has inspired that idea and he's led us to it. And of course, when we do it in the power of Christ, we see lives changed, don't we? We see conversations that are significant for those we meet with. On Friday morning, I was with our prayer tent in Liscard. So once every Friday morning, a group of volunteers take a gazebo up into the town centre, and we literally walk up to people and say, "Hello, I'm from St. Martin's Church. Can I pray for you today?" That's our opening thing. And I've done it a few times. I'm on the rota once a month, and it's really scary. It's more scary than doing this. This is easy in comparison. It's really scary. And on Friday, you know, we just felt like, oh, there's hardly anyone here. Is it because it's sunny? Like, and anyone we tried to talk to, they weren't interested. You know, they were focused, beeline, zoop, they were going wherever they were going. And we stopped and we prayed and we just said, "Spirit, break through. Spirit, break through." And we only had three more conversations after that. Only three. We were there for 2 hours. So, like, you could say, well, that's not very good, is it? You know, statistically. But each one was really significant, and I'm trusting particularly that one couple that we spoke to will be in church this morning, because they messaged me yesterday to say that they would be. How amazing is that? When we step out in line with the Holy Spirit. But it takes faith. It takes faith. I think so often we rely on an emotion or a feeling, a sense of God's presence, or a mountaintop experience like the kids had at Spree. My kids went to Spree as well this summer. Or when we've been at a Christian conference like the Women's Day, that was at Lou Fellingham, that was a mountaintop experience. Sometimes we rely on those mountaintop experiences, but actually it's the day-to-day, just faith, just trust, and stepping out with God. And Paul, Tim read that so well. Where is he? Where are you, Tim? You need to, there you are. As you read it, I thought, well, I don't need to preach on this, because you read it so well. It was really impactful. Thank you. And you read in verses 4 to 6 about, you know, Paul was saying, of anybody, I could be confident in my abilities, really, in my position, in my birthright, in my education, in my position of power and authority as a Pharisee. I could put all my confidence in that because I had it all. And yet, we understand that because he had such a life-saving, life-changing revelation of Jesus Christ, that he knew all of it was useless. That knowing Christ is the only thing that counts. And as I was preparing this, I was preparing it in a journal notebook before I got to the typing on the computer stage. And I just wrote a prayer that maybe we should pray together now. It was just, Father God, would you so meet with me? Would you so transform my life through your Spirit, by your saving Son, Jesus, that I no longer rely on my own ability, my own status, my own education, my birthright, that I only rely on you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I think that's really important for all of us, whoever we are, because I don't know about you, but I keep going back to trying to do things in my own strength. And we were talking about this in our home group. We call them life groups in our church. We were talking about it, like, why? Even though, like, time and time again, we've experienced God's power, we've known him to be faithful, and yet, when trouble comes, even something small or something big, we just try and solve it ourselves first. Why don't we learn? Why don't we learn? Do we live lives like Jesus is all that counts? Do we go to those edges, the edges in our lives, the personal, the local, the international? Do we go there knowing that we're going to meet Jesus there? I think one of the mistakes of missionaries from long, long ago, and even me 14 years ago when I was preparing to go out to Tanzania, was this idea that we take Jesus with us. It's really naive. Actually, Jesus is already there. He's already at work there. We go and we join in with what he's doing there. So when you're thinking about, you know, that person in your life that you need to talk to and share Jesus with, don't be afraid, because he's already there. He's already working. When he asks you, when he prompts you, when he stirs something in you, when you feel that compelling, he's already at work. So we shouldn't be afraid. And do we live our lives like Paul, striving, racing to know Jesus more and more and more, pressing to the goal to win the prize? To know Christ and be like Christ. So it was part of my training to be a priest. I have a very low theology of priesthood, by the way. So I don't see priests as any different to anybody else. That's who I am, even though I'm in the Church of England. It's okay. You don't need to worry about me. But we were at training. So every 6 weeks, it feels like slightly more regularly than that, we go all the way to Derbyshire for a residential training. And last year I started the furthest away in Liscard. This year there's somebody from Truro that goes. But we had such a privilege in that we had a lecture with Rowan Williams, that was our Archbishop, not all that long ago. And you know, an hour of him lecturing us with no notes, appearing really not to have prepared, but not in a bad sense. You know, I'm sure he had prepared, but he just sort of leaned on the lectern and spoke. And it was wonderful. And he said to us something that I've just found so powerful, and I think it's true for all of us. He said, you're called into ministry, whatever that ministry is, you're called into ministry. We're all called into ministry. Just clarify that in case anyone wasn't sure. We're all called to ministry, to minister in the name of Jesus. We're all called to ministry to save ourselves. Our primary concern as the people of God, in any form of ministry we're in, is to be a disciple. And actually, when you're a priest, you might like to share the news with others so they don't seem to know this. When you're a priest, the only thing you're employed to do is morning and evening prayer. That's the only thing you're employed to do. I'm sure Sammy would love to hear that. You can share it with him. But that's all you're employed to do, because it's about, if you're walking with God, if you're being a disciple and you're growing in your discipleship, no matter for how many years you've already been a disciple, just keep going, because there's always more, then the ministry's going to happen. And he said, when I meet priests that are burnt out, when I meet priests that are jaded and tired and questioning their faith, or questioning their calling, sorry, he said questioning their calling, it's because the discipleship has stopped, because they've stood still. They're no longer going deeper. I just thought that was really insightful. So, I'm just going to skip a load of lines there. We're going to have a little look about what we do in the edges in Liscard, because that's what we're here to do. That's what we need to let you know about. So, Fester, do you want to come up and join me? And then I'll do a little bit and then you can take over. So Liskeard, I don't know how well you know it. It's not very far away. It took us about an hour and a half this morning to get here. It's a small town with a lot of deprivation. It's not a nice bit of Cornwall in that it's not on the coast. It's a town centre right on the edge of Bodmin Moor. It's grey most of the time because you've either got sea fog or moor mist. Do you know what I mean? We're sort of in the middle. But we get rainbows all the time, which is awesome. Yeah. So Festo's been, he's taken over from me in some things that I've put down as I've become an ordinand. So St. Martin's School has been a big focus for us. And thank you so much for the prayers. I've lost you. I can't see you now. Thank you, Trish. Thank you. Praying for Kids Matter and for TLG. We really appreciate that because they're two programs that we brought in to Liskeard. And the impact is brilliant. So Festo's been coaching through the school. And also Festo gets invited on school trips. So he's been to places in Cornwall that I've never been to, which is pretty fun. But he's got a ministry of going on school trips. Now that might sound a bit odd, but you know, you've got a whole day there to do relationship building with the teachers, with the children, connecting, supporting and encouraging, particularly these children whose, many of them have really hard home lives. So if they find that love and that peace at school, it's awesome. At Magdalen Field, it's our community field project that Festo oversees. And it's a green space. It was once an abattoir. It's not very pleasant, is it? And then it just sort of got left by the council. So it's owned by Cornwall County Council for the extension of the school, if that was ever to happen. And it was just left as a piece of wasteland, really, nobody caring for it. And one man started to care for it who is not part of our church. He's not a Christian. But we're working with him now because the council asked us to take it on because they couldn't afford to do it. We can't really do that. Anyway, never mind. We pay £1 a year to rent this piece of land from the council. And already there's football goals up. There's a basketball hoop that's about to go up. Yep. There's benches and a picnic bench. And a better access has been created. Some bird boxes and feeders and all that kind of stuff has been put out. And some wild seed sowing. And all those kinds of things have been happening. And there's a lot more to come with that. And then Festo helps with a lot of the children's and families work at the church. And he'll talk a little bit about his heart for young people and children. And then if we just skip to the next one, I'll just mention this. And then I really am going to hand over to Festo then. So Empowering the Future is an NGO that Festo has set up in Tanzania. He almost set it up without me knowing. That's not entirely true. It's just it was happening so quietly and in such a small way for a really long time that I was aware that he was doing something, but not really sure quite what was going on. And then this year it's just flourished and become something really tangible. We say lives empowered through education, practical skills, and the love of Jesus. Now, brownie points, if you can remember what we used to say about our school in Tanzania. We used to say lives transformed through education and the love of Christ. So it's very similar because Festo's heart hasn't changed. It's just the context that has changed. And I think he's amazing because he heads up this organization from our dining room table over WhatsApp. And I can't do that. I haven't got those skills. I think it's phenomenal that he does that. So he's going to share a little bit about that. But I want to encourage you, if you want to get involved with this, we want to set up a UK-based charity. And I've only said that in one other church, which is our church in Liskeard, and we've made no steps towards doing it yet. And we've never set up a charity before, either of us. We have no idea what we're doing, so we're looking for help. We're looking for people who might want to, once you've heard what it's about, who might want to come on board and be a trustee, if that's the right terminology. Yep, good. And for people who have that experience of setting up charities and might help us along with that. So I'm going to be quiet.
Good morning. I would like to say thank you very much for your love, journeying with us wherever we are, and whatever we do, you are still there, and your prayers is absolutely fantastic to us, and thank you very much. Why is empowering the future? As I have been coming here explaining how I am brokenhearted with the children, it is in my heart. Before, I didn't know that I'm going to be in loving, saving the children. I was planning to be a businessman, and I didn't think that I would be a teacher. But because of the education system in Tanzania, I became a teacher. And I end up teaching. That's where, when I was there, definitely I changed my mind from being a businessman, being loving, serving the children. From that point, I just always wanted to see changes from the children to change as they grow, to see their changes as they grow up. So Empowering the Future is a non-governmental organization which is focusing for the time being on farming and education. Why is the farming? In my idea, in my head, and the vision, I have seen the climate change, which is bringing a very big impact to the community, particularly in Tanzania and East Africa and the part of Africa, as you can see on the news. From that point, I thought, oh, yeah, this is really something which we have to work on it. Why did I thought that? Because most of people in Tanzania, they don't know about climate change. They have no clue. They just hear, whether it's been taught in a school, the way it's taught is not the way they can understand what climate change means. What they can see is just having a lot of rain or a little rain. No harvest or a little harvest. They use it to harvest enough and in excess, but nowadays is a trouble. From my experience, 3 years, hunger is there in Tanzania. Even in my village where I come from, has been there for 3 years almost. Every year there's a problem with the food. Whether the rain comes, it can come too much. Or it can come in just a short time and it goes. So once it comes too much, it whips all which has been planted and nothing gonna get. Or it comes little, most of the crops dry. So I came with the idea to tell the community where I come from that you need to understand that for the time being, we have a problem of climate change. The climate change has changed everything with our farming system as we use it to farm. And we see the destruction of the environment has also caused more problem. So what we are doing with Empowering the Future, we are educating people, empowering them to know what climate change first, and then what we're gonna do so that we can tackle that impact. We are telling them the importance of trees, planting trees, how it can improve the soil so that they can get enough crops and yield. And also, we are trying to tell the reality of when to plant and what to plant. We are insisting on fruit trees like mango, guava, papaya, which can go through the year, whether there is shortage of rain or a lot of rain, just to subsidize with their diet, to have protein and even really have something to eat rather than nothing. With the farming, also we are trying to tell them the seeds which are good for them to use in their field, and what kind of trees which they can plant around their field to improve their soil, which has been a good start. Last time when I went in Tanzania, I went with our friend Gemma, who she's studying agroforestry in a university.
Master's in agroforestry.
Yep. And she was very brilliant. And people really listened, and we are hoping something going to happen through what we taught them and speak to them. The other focus is education. As I said, we are trying to educate, but we have a base and started a nursery school, which is an English medium. Why English medium, you can ask me. Because of the education system in Tanzania, as I've been saying, is strange. You start with the learning the your subjects in the primary school with the national language, which is Kiswahili. So you can learn that from standard 1 to standard 7, except English as a subject. And then once you go to secondary school, everything changed. You have to learn all the subjects in English, whether it's geography, history, chemistry, biology, any subject, agriculture, you have to learn in English. It's like you speaking English, going to primary school, learning English, every subject in English. Then once you go to secondary school, everything changes to French or German. You study your sciences in German. I don't know if you can be able to understand what the teachers are teaching. So that is happening. And being among of them, I did the same thing. Studying in Swahili in the primary school, went to secondary school, study in English. It is hard, as you can think and figure. In such experience, definitely, tried to figure in my mind. I have been a teacher for 20 years, and I could see how the children, once they come to secondary school, how they struggle to understand what the teacher are trying to teach them, because they don't have a base of English language. We could use, according to their system, 6 weeks teaching English. Just 6 weeks, teach them English, understand English, so that they can learn their subject in English. So it is a typical system, which is, it has been going for ages. We set the English medium in Lamaiti with this organization so that to give a foundation with these young children with the language, in order once they go to secondary school, they can have some knowledge of understanding what is taught by their teacher. It is important for us, education, as you can tell, because everyone needs education. And in Tanzania, every family now, as I have been saying several times, that they need education because they now know that education is the only thing which it can enable them to improve their families and the society at large. It is hard someone to understand that a single person in a family can bring a very big impact within the family, even in the society. Take an example, myself. For those who know, I've mentioned several times, we are 11 of us in my family. And I was the only person whom I went through to secondary school and become a teacher. Being a teacher, I have brought something to the family, a lot of changes which has happened to my family and even the society at large. So, by saying so, for me, I feel like educating a single person in the family can bring a lot within the family. Grace helped me. Actually, I cannot say me. I have tried to send my siblings and relatives through secondary school just because I was able. But other families, they haven't sent their children to secondary school because they are unable and they haven't got any person who can really bring that impact which I brought to my family. They can see the importance, but how are they going to go? It's just hard. Why is it hard? Because with the system, the education system, once you go to the primary school, if you fail to go to secondary school, that's the end of it. That means you have to go via other things like farming. With the climate change, people are struggling to. Because they cannot farm, they cannot get anything. So, why we think that it's important to educate these children with the English medium so that they can pass their secondary school, their primary school to go to secondary school. And once they are there, they're gonna find their way out. For the future, with the empowering the future, we are looking to be more abroad. The vision is very big, however, we are in a small thing, as we can see, but the vision is almost, we are thinking about having a vocation center. Why vocation center? Because not everyone can go to secondary school and go to universities. Even if they can go to universities, they still have a problem with the employment. Employment problem in Tanzania is very big. It's a very big problem because, the government has found out the universities and the colleges, but once people they are there, when they come back, the government hasn't prepared any way to increase employment for those who are coming back from what they have been studying. And because of the system, of the education system, does not allow these people whom have gone to university to come back to find other alternative of life because of the system they just see looking for employment, which is not there. Why is empowering the future focusing on vocation? We are trying to think that these people, definitely they're going to go for wherever they're going to go. If they're going to go via this system, the government system, obviously they will end up in the street. My sibling whom I helped them, they've gone to universities, they've got their degrees, but up this moment they are in the street, they don't have work, no employment. Empowering the future, we are focusing to start a vocation where they can get some skills which it can help them once they finish, whether they go to university or finish in primary school or finish secondary school, it can enable them to have some skills like electric building, plumbing, and other skills, farming, which can enable them once they come back, they can go via that to employ themselves. That is my vision, and that is the vision of empowering, and I thank God that is in place, and I just ask your prayer so that this system or this organization can blossom to help the society and the people of God. Thank you very much.
There is just one more slide with some photos on of Gemma's visit to Tanzania earlier this year. So Festo and Gemma were there in June, July time. Yeah. And what's interesting about the farming is some of the vocational skills we want to do around farming, because people who are subsistence farmers have faced this climate change. They don't know what to do. And so the picture on the left is Gemma in a village. No, on the right, because I'm looking that way, is Gemma in a village under a tree teaching some local farmers. The thing is, we think of farming here as a profession. So if we talk about local farmers here in Woodbury, we might be talking of a collection of 10 farms around Woodbury. Whereas in Tanzania, local farmers is everybody. Everybody is a farmer. Festo's mum, in her 80s, will still, if we allow her, go and turn over some land and plant some seed. So everybody is a farmer. And so she was educating the village. And then the other picture on the other side is of an example plot of land that we have in Dodoma. Because people, you can teach and explain, but until they see and experience, it's hard for that to filter through. So there's an example of these new ways of farming there for people to go and see and be a part of. Yeah, wonderful. Well, we just are really grateful that we're still journeying with you, and we remember well the groups that came out to visit us when we were living in Tanzania. And I think whenever we come, we're going to talk about England and Tanzania, because that's who we are, and whichever nation we're living in, whichever country we're in, that's where our hearts are. So we wanted to share a bit of both of those things. So thank you very much for having us today.